Good morning to you. Do you know one of my favorite things about being part of church? It's that we're part of something that's made up of all sorts of different types of people. People from around the corner, people from far away, people in their 60s, their 70s, even their 80s. People only a couple of weeks old. People who can think of nothing better to eat on this Christmas day than something like banger soup. And for others of us, it might be roast turkey. And that's true today just as much as any day. And although we might be all very different, what makes us a church is that God has worked in our lives through the Lord Jesus. And that was true that first Christmas just as much as it is today. Put your hand up if in our church family, you've been on an Advent adventure over the last 25 days. Put your hands up if you've been on an Advent adventure. That's what all these boxes are behind me. Over the last 25 days, families in our church have been looking at a little bit of the Bible story together. And I thought we could share with everybody this morning some of the people that we've met along the way. You may remember that we started our Advent adventure by thinking about Luke's gospel and how Luke's account of the life of Jesus was made up of eyewitnesses. And the first people we met were Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were an old couple and a couple who had experienced some hard things in their lives. I think we'll have a slide on the screen. And in chapter 1, verse 7 of Luke's gospel, Luke tells us this. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all that the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. For a married couple to be unable to have children is a really sad thing. But even in all of that heartache, even in all of that pain, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they kept trusting God. They kept waiting for his promises. They kept waiting for God to send his long-promised king. And you know what happened? One day, late on in their life, when Zechariah and Elizabeth were on there doing their ordinary things, loving God, doing good, an angel appeared to them. Zechariah, he was serving as a priest in the temple, and a blazing angel appeared in front of him and promised him that his wife Elizabeth, even though she was very old, would have a son. And this son would grow up to get people ready for God's long-promised king. As I've been thinking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's made me really thankful for the people in our church family, some of the older people in our church family that have had hard things in their lives, but they've continued to love God and to live for him. They've continued to believe even when that hasn't been easy. And perhaps you can think of some people in our church family like that this morning. Put your hand up if you can think of some people like that in your church family this morning. If you've got your hand up, here's a little Christmas Day challenge. Before we leave this building, why don't you go up to one of those people and encourage them on this Christmas Day? Now, the next people we meet are Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph, they're quite well known. And when we often think of Mary and Joseph, we think, oh, these were extraordinary people. But Mary and Joseph, at the beginning of our Christmas adventure, they were just ordinary teenagers in a small little place in the middle of nowhere. They were as ordinary as you and as me. But something extraordinary happened to Mary. Here's our next reading from Luke's Gospel, up on the screen. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And in a couple of verses later, Luke tells us how this angel, again, that had appeared to Zechariah, now appeared to Mary and to Joseph, and they promised them that Mary would have a son. And this son would be God's long-promised king. He would be the Son of God. That he would come to save God's people from their rebellion against him. He would be known as Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know about you, but Christmas for many of us is a time of celebration, isn't it? It's a time of gifts and of great food. But for quite a few of us, it can also be a time where we, after all of the celebrating and all the eating, we're just reminded how ordinary life is. Even if you ever have had that feeling at Christmas, even if we receive nice presents today, even if we eat nice food, our eyes often flick over to other people's presents and other people's food, and we think that they look a lot nicer and a lot tastier. But Joseph and Mary, they were ordinary. And something extraordinary happened to them, not because of who they were, but because of what God did for them in Jesus. And so let me encourage you, if over the next 24 hours, once you've eaten your food and the last present has been opened, and maybe you get that pang in that in your heart that just reminds you just how ordinary you are, remember this. That's okay. God's all right with that. Because God takes up home in the ordinary. God takes up home in the ordinary lives of people like you and me. And as we come to receive Jesus, he then does extraordinary things. So, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph. Now, quite a bit happens before we meet our next people that we're thinking about this morning. So, for example, we hear about the blessing that Jesus is going to be. Mary and Joseph, they travel to Bethlehem. And then, oh, of course, absolutely, this is what we're remembering today. Number 13, the baby is born in a cattle shed. What a place for a king to be born. And then we hear about how some shepherds were out tending their flocks by night and angels visited them. Glory shone all around. They told them to go and see this God-sent king, and so they praised God. They went and saw him. And as they were making their way to go and see this special king, they couldn't help but sharing it with other people. And then we come to someone called Simeon. Now, Simeon's someone who often gets neglected in Christmas nativities. But Simeon was a very special person because Simeon, he lived in Jerusalem. He was like Zechariah and Elizabeth. He was old in age. And the thing about Simeon was that he was a good man. He loved God, like Elizabeth and Zechariah. He was waiting for God to send his long-promised king. And one day when Mary and Joseph came to the temple in Jerusalem to do the things that they had to do for Jesus to grow up as a Jewish boy, a Jewish man, well, God worked in Simeon's heart and brought him into the temple at just the right time so that he bumped in Joseph and Mary. What an amazing coincidence, huh? And Luke tells us this. As Simeon saw Joseph and Mary, he took Jesus into his arms and he said these words about Jesus. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Okay, so that's Simeon. But Simeon wasn't the only person getting excited about Jesus that day. There was another lady called Anna. She was also in the temple, and like Zechariah and Elizabeth, she had also experienced some really hard things. You see, the thing about Anna was that earlier in Anna's life, she had gotten married. And after 7 years, her husband had died. How sad is that? Imagine that. In fact, there are some people in this room this morning who don't need to imagine that, because something similar has already happened to them. But even in all the pain, even in all the heartbreak, well, do you know what Anna did? This is what Anna did. Luke tells us in our next reading. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. There's something about Christmas, isn't there, that brings up painful memories. Often at Christmas, it's a time, sure, of presents and feasting, but it's also a time of remembering all the people that can't be there. Maybe people that have died. Maybe people that live far away. Maybe people that our relationship with them has broken away. In fact, there'll be people in our church family this Christmas who will have an empty seat at the dinner table for someone special for the first time this year. We can remember them, can't we, in their prayers this Christmas day. But even in all the heartbreak, even in all the pain, we can worship Jesus at Christmas. Do you want to know why? Because like Anna and like Simeon, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, when we worship God at Christmas, we look forward to Jesus coming again. We look forward to when Jesus will come and there will be no more sickness, suffering, or pain. That's Anna. Okay. I think I'm going to need some help for this one. Let's see how we get on. A funny thing happened. I practiced this on Thursday, and I don't remember it being as tall. I don't remember it leaning forward either. Okay. There we go. I'm really glad Boris Johnson asked us to all wear face masks so nobody blows it over. Now we come to our final person. And the thing about our final person is that he didn't come to worship Jesus that Christmas. Now, our final person, Herod, he came to declare war on him. You see, as we heard earlier, some wise and mysterious men turned up in Jerusalem around the time that Jesus was born. They said that they had followed a star because they were looking for a new baby king. And for a king like Herod, well, that disturbed him. Herod didn't get much sleep those Christmas nights. Now, these wise men, they gave Herod the necessary information, and Herod wanted to find out more about this king. So he got all of the leading scribes and religious teachers to tell him where this king would be to be born. And they all came back with one answer. That's amazing, isn't it? That they knew where this king would be to born. Remarkable. He was to be born in Bethlehem. And so King Herod sent the wise men off to Bethlehem, and they were to go to Bethlehem to find the king and then to come back to Herod. So Herod said he could go and worship him. That's what the wise men did. They went off and worshipped Jesus. As we heard earlier, they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh, gifts fit for a prophet and a priest and a king. And then they received a dream, and the dream told them not to go back to Herod in Jerusalem, but to return to their country by another route. And I can tell you, when Herod found out, he was furious. Herod got so angry, and instead of worshipping like the wise men did, like he said to the wise men that he would do, he actually declared war on him He sent his soldiers off to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, to try and kill him. And he ordered that every boy 2 and under would be murdered. That's horrific, isn't it? That's terrible. As a father of 2 boys under the age of 2, that just doesn't bear thinking about. And it's often a part of a Christmas story that we don't often think about, is it? But here's the thing. This wouldn't be the last time Jesus' life would be in danger. Because you see, as Jesus grew up, as he came to do the work that God gave him to do, as he came to preach a message of judgment and salvation, lots of people didn't like it. Lots of people wanted him to stop teaching. Lots of people wanted to get rid of him at whatever cost. And this time, Jesus didn't try and escape. He willingly gave his life. Why would Jesus do that? Why would this special king, this king that people worship at Christmas, this king that the wise men gave all these lavish gifts, why would he give his life like that? Well, here's the answer. It's because that's why he came. That is the reason Jesus was born of Mary. That is the reason he was born in a cattle shed. That was the reason he was laid in a manger. The reason that Jesus died, the reason that this special king gave up his life, was so that he could die for people who had been broken by sin. He died for people like Zechariah and Elizabeth. He died for people like Joseph and Mary. He died for people like Simeon and Anna. He died for people who know that this world is broken, for people who know that their hearts are broken. He died for people who just can't get over the fact that God would do that for them. He died for people who are amazed that Jesus will one day come again. As a church, we're made up of all different people, aren't we? We're made up of people who are young and old. We're made up of people who are from round the corner and had to travel hours to get here this morning. As a church, we're made up of people who are confident, people who are shy, people who are into sports, and people who just can't stand it on the telly. We're made up of all sorts of people. But as we come to celebrate Christmas this morning, what makes us a church is that we celebrate that the King has come. We celebrate that Jesus has come for people who have been broken by sin. But he's going to come and redeem them.